Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 19, Giving Yourself to Prayer. But ask in faith, not doubting anything. For he that doubts is like the wave of the sea, which is driven of the wind and is tossed from one side to another. James chapter 1, verse 6. This perpetual hurry of business and company ruins me in soul, if not in body. More solitude and earlier hours. I suspect I have been allotting too little time to religious exercises, as private devotion, religious meditation, and scripture reading. I have been keeping too late hours, and hence have had but a hurried half hour in a morning to myself. Surely, without a due measure of private devotions, the soul will grow lean. But all may be done through prayer, almighty prayer. That it is almighty is only through the gracious arrangement of the God of love and truth. Oh, then, pray, pray, pray. William Wilberforce. Our devotions are not measured by the clock, but time is fundamental. The ability to wait and press on belongs essentially to our intercourse with God. To an alarming extent, hurry is damaging the great business of communion with God. Short devotions are the bane of deep adoration. Calmness, understanding, and strength are never the companions of hurry. Short devotions deplete spiritual life, arrest spiritual progress, sap spiritual foundations, and blight the root and bloom of spiritual life. They are the prolific source of backsliding, the sure indication of a superficial spirituality. They deceive, blight, rot the seed, and impoverish the soil. It is true that Bible prayers in word and print are short, but the praying men of the Bible were with God through many sweet and holy wrestling hours. They won by few words, but by prolonged waiting. The prayers Moses recorded may be short, but Moses prayed to God with fastings and mighty crying for 40 days and nights. The statement of Elijah's praying may be condensed to a few brief paragraphs, but doubtless Elijah, who, when praying he prayed, spent many hours of fiery struggle and lofty communion with God before he could say with assured boldness to Ahab, "There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. The verbal brief of Paul's prayers is short, but Paul prayed night and day, praying exceedingly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. The Lord's Prayer is a divine summary for infant lips. But the man Christ Jesus often prayed all night before his work was done. His all-night and long-sustained devotions gave his work its finish and perfection. They gave his character the fullness and the glory of its divinity. Spiritual work is taxing work, and men are reluctant to do it. Praying, true praying, requires an investment of serious attention and time, which flesh and blood do not relish. Few people are made of such strong fiber that they will commit to such an undertaking when surface work will pass as well in the market. We can devote ourselves to our beggarly praying until it looks sufficient to us. At least it keeps up a decent form and quiets the conscience, the deadliest of opiates. We can slight our praying and not realize the peril until the foundations are gone. Hurried devotions make weak faith, wavering convictions, and questionable reverence. To be little with God is to be little for God. To cut the praying short makes the whole religious character short, scant, selfish, and slovenly. It takes time for the full flow of God to get into the spirit. Short devotions cut the pipe of God's flow short. It takes time in the secret places to get the full revelation of God. Little time and hurry mar the picture. Henry Martin lamented, "Lack of private devotional reading and shortness of prayer through unending sermon development had produced much strangeness between God and his soul. He judged that he had dedicated too much time to public services and too little to private communion with God. He was convicted to set aside times for fasting and devotion times for solemn prayer. Resulting from this, he recorded, was assisted this morning to pray for 2 hours. William Wilberforce, the peer of kings, said, I must secure more time for private devotions. I have been living far too public for me. The shortening of private devotions starves the soul. It grows lean and faint. I have been keeping too late hours. Of a failure in Parliament, he said, let me record my grief and shame and all, probably from private devotions having been shortened. So God let me stumble. More solitude and earlier hours was his remedy. More time and early hours for prayer would act like magic to revive and invigorate many decayed spiritual lives. More time and early hours for prayer embody holy living. A holy life would not be so rare or so difficult a thing if our devotions were not so short and hurried. A Christ-like temper in its sweet and passionless fragrance would not be so alien and hopeless a heritage if our prayer closet time was lengthened and intensified. We live shabbily because we pray poorly. Plenty of time to feast in our closets will bring marrow and fatness to our lives. Our ability to stay with God in solitude measures our ability to stay with God in public. Hasty prayer times are deceptive and defaulting. We are not only deluded by them, but we are also losers by them in many ways and in many rich legacies. Lingering in the closet instructs and wins. The greatest victories are often the result of great waiting, waiting until words and plans are exhausted, and silent, patient waiting gains the crown. Scripture, be silent before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalm 37, verse 7. Jesus Christ asked with emphasis, shall not God avenge his own elect who cry day and night unto him? Luke chapter 18, verse 7. To pray is the greatest thing we can do, and to do it well, there must be calmness, time, and deliberation. Otherwise, it is degraded into the littlest and most common of things. True praying has the greatest results for good, and poor praying the least. We cannot do too much of real praying. We cannot do too little of the phony sham. We must learn again the worth of prayer and enter again the school of prayer. There is nothing that takes more time to learn, and if we would learn this wondrous art, we must not give a fragment here and there. A little talk with Jesus, as the children sing. We must demand and hold with iron fists the best hours of the day for God and prayer, or there will be no praying worth recognizing. This, however, is not a day of prayer. Few men pray. Prayer is defamed by preacher and priest. In these days of hurry and bustle, electricity and steam, men will not take time to pray. There are preachers who say prayers as a part of their program on regular set occasions, but who revives himself to take hold upon God? Who prays as Jacob prayed until he is crowned as a prevailing princely intercessor? Who prays as Elijah prayed until all the locked-up forces of nature were unsealed and a famine-stricken land bloomed as the garden of God? Who prays as Jesus Christ prayed when he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God? Luke chapter 6, verse 12. The apostles gave themselves to prayer, the most difficult thing to get men or even the preachers to do. There are laymen who will give their money, some of them in rich abundance, but they will not give themselves to prayer, without which their money is but a curse. Plenty of preachers will preach and deliver great and eloquent addresses on the need of revival and the spread of the kingdom of God, but not many will do that thing without which all preaching and organizing are worse than vain. Pray. Prayer is out of date, almost a lost art, and the greatest benefactor this age could have is the man who will bring the preachers and the church back to prayer. Scripture. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 4.